ancient paths in the stars. The light of life inside us is lit by the same spark. When we lose our way, think there's nowhere left to turn. Prayers are all around. We can always return. Water so deep, water so wide, water braiding the earth and the sky. Mountains so strong, mountains so tall, lifted by spirit and holding us all.
All right. I love that. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. Guillermo Mashi, I'm really feeling blessed, you know. I had this spot here, First Thursdays, for a long time. We did Imagining Community, and our first season was with Allie Matters Knight, who's with us tonight on Native American history, Native American genocide, and traditional ecological knowledge. But the last season I did of Imagining Community was all about water. So when I decided to retire from public affairs, I was so blessed to hand this over to Ron for Sam and Topi. And I was talking to Ron a month or a half or so ago, and he was just like, oh my God, I won't even be here on the first day at Run for Salmon. So I'm like, no, man, we got you covered. So we got a lot going on today. We got a lot going on tonight, and you're going to hear from Ron later on. Allie Matters Knight's going to do a beautiful interview with Ron from the campsite. Tomorrow is the beginning of Run for Salmon. You're going to learn all you need to know about that in just a second. But North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh-made, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Ave, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and drunkendumplingchico.com. Drunken Dumpling, where they love food, flavor, and our community. So up first, before we talk to the folks that are here in the studio, the door just opened. Maybe you heard the little creak, a little bit of a creak on the airways. I want to play this trailer. There's been a professional journalist that has a beautiful podcast. She's going to tell you all about that in the trailer. But she spent some years, I believe three years, covering Run for Salmon. And I told Ron when I was going to cover this show, I'm like, man, I want some way to introduce what Run for Salmon's all about. And couldn't come up with anything better than this. So enjoy this. And thank you for listening to Pipa Radio.
We didn't get any land on the McLeod River. We didn't get anything for everything that was taken. We were displaced and homeless. And our people was in the boarding schools and in the service. And when they came home, they had to have a different kind of life.
I'm Judy Silber from KALW's The Spiritual Edge. A few years ago, I stumbled onto the story of the Winnemem-Wintu people. Theirs is an epic tale, and it grabbed hold of me.
By 1910, there were 395 Winnemem people left. And so it's a miracle that we're even here still today. You took all of our land, you pawned it off to other individual private owners, you kept the bulk of it for yourselves, and you have no place for us.
Soon, you'll have a chance to hear the Winnemem-Wintu story in a new series from The Spiritual Edge. It's called A Prayer for Salmon, and it centers around their clash with one of California's most important infrastructure sites, Shasta Dam. Shasta Dam played a big role in re-engineering California's water by moving it from north to south, changing the landscape forever.
They take the flow of the San Joaquin, they stop it cold, and they ship it in a canal called the Frying Kern Canal all the way to Bakersfield, 150 miles away. Then what they do is to replace the flow of the San Joaquin River that has been stolen and shipped south, they have to bring in a new flow. And that's the flow from the Sacramento River.
The water has built California's Central Valley into a farming empire. But in addition to the harm it caused the Winnemem Wintu, it decimated salmon populations. Now the Winnemem want to bring them back.
We are the speakers for salmon because they can no longer speak. You can't hear them cry. These salmon, they're the predictors of how healthy our water is in the ocean and in the streams.
They also want to stop a federal project that would raise Shasta Dam even higher, a prospect the Winnemem say could destroy what remains of their culture by flooding important sacred sites.
So we're up against endless money. We're up against people who have endless resources.
My greatest hope is that you will hear the Winnemem story of struggle and resilience, of betrayal and a willingness to still believe in the good things to come, and that it will change you, as it did me. Subscribe on your favorite app, follow us on NPR One, or ask your smart speaker to play the latest from The Spiritual Edge. You won't want to miss it.
Tell me where you think that the water level is going to go up to.
Oh, yeah. All of this will be underwater.
All right. The audio you just heard was produced by the Spiritual Edge podcast, a project of KALW Public Radio in San Francisco. It's part of a series called A Prayer for Salmon. The full podcast will debut in, they say September here in the read, but I did see in the trailer out on their podcast it said August. So look for that. Go out there and follow them. For more information, go to thespiritualedge.org. And the lead reporter for A Prayer for Salmon is Judy Silber. She's the one that's been traveling along with the folks on the river and on the bikes and on the horses. The sound engineer is Tariq Fuda. And the editors are Loretta Williams, Jeb Sharp. And I'm going to repeat this at least one more time because I'm so blessed. I think listeners, you guys are the ones that are blessed. We're all blessed because we've got some wonderful, wonderful audio that she's captured. And we're going to be going to a direct action that she recorded up at the Shasta Dam Visitor Center, and just some beautiful interviews, 3-minute interviews with some Native Americans about their run for salmon prayer journey. But before we do that, I just really thought the rivers headed lined, you know, all the different tributaries have really put something special here together above and beyond everything else, because I remember almost 3 years ago, Allie Mentor's Knight was in here for our inaugural Imagining Community about traditional ecological knowledge, Native American genocide, and Native American history. And Stephen Marquardt was working with me on that. And Stephen, he's been out of town. He's been out of town for like 14 months, 15 months, but he's back. And I talked to him last night and go, man, we all got to be in the studio at the same time just to kind of have reverence for what we've all done and what we've all seen and what we've all heard. What would you say to that, my good friend Stephen Marquardt?
I'm so glad to be back, Bill. Allie, nice to share space with you again. As soon as you asked me to come on, I was like, yeah, I'll be there. It's always a beautiful time in here, and so many good memories with you two in the studio. So it's nice to just be here and listen to hear what you all are going to do.
And you brought a wonderful friend with you.
I did.
Annie Baker.
My partner, Annie, who actually the only reason we're here is probably because she invited or encouraged me to come with her to Minnesota to help the water protectors who were trying to stop Line 3 pipeline. Last summer we went there together, and she really put that on my radar, and I think that's because if she didn't ask me to go with her to do that, I don't know if I would even be here right now. So it kind of ties
that.
Us all together.
I love
with folks trying to protect waters all over the country and around the world.
That's a perfect lead-in, because I just met Annie not even 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
over at our good friend Jared and Addison's house, and I said, what's your name? And she said, my name's Annie. So I was like, Annie, get your gun. Annie Hall. Annie. I was trying to come up with some way to remember Annie. So I says, Annie Bidwell. And as soon as I said Annie Bidwell, I thought about Allie Mentor's Knight and decolonization and how no one's heard of the Machupta, but everyone's heard of Annie Bidwell. And I'm like, oh, no, We need an Annie that's just a badass heroine. And Annie Baker, who just laughed, she says, that's me. Pick me. Annie Baker. I just love that. I said, I will never forget your name. Anything you would want to add to that? Move into the mic a little bit.
No, I'm totally surprised that I'm even on right now, but I appreciate this.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to be sitting here with you folks. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, Allie Matters. Hey, Tonani.
Hey, Tonani.
What's the translation for that? What does that mean?
It's more like, hey, what's up? We started that.
All right.
It was culturally appropriated somewhere in the 70s. What's up? But no, it's mostly like, hello, hey, Tonani.
Yeah.
Nani as a question.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a question of how you're doing. It's like, hey, how are you doing?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, Allie Matters Knight, I know you and Ron had a chance to talk, and we're going to be dialing into Ron, and Ron was so happy. He's actually got reception at the reception area for the Run for Salmon, which starts tomorrow. So
yes.
What are we going to be hearing and talking about when we call up Mr. Ron for Salmon?
So we, you know, Run for Salmon, you know, I know that Ron may tell this story, so I don't want to go over it, you know, but he shared it with me when we talked the other day. And it really had to do with collectively all the tribes from the ocean, Sacramento, you know, where we're at. We're actually lighting fires as the salmon come in. And when we're lighting fires as salmon come in, there's this fires do these things about smoke and keeping the water cool and lighting the ways for the salmon. And it's such a community harvest time for such a long, for thousands of years. That is only in the last 180 years that we've had it taken away, or 150 years that it's been completely decimated. And so that doesn't mean that the traditional practitioners and the leaders of the tribe have given up on the keystone species of our ecosystem and how it operates. We will not give up until we will not, period. It's not possible. And so we're the speakers, we're the fighters. And so when you belong to the ecosystem, not that it belongs to you, you belong to it. And so you are at service to it. You have to be of service, and not only in a stewardship way, but in an advocate way. And so Run for Salmon is most a celebratory time to all the tribes to know it's time to harvest and share these cultural traditional practices of burning and eating and harvesting. And this is kind of resembling that, calling us back, waking us up to remember all the tribes. All of us have a salmon relationship. All of us have a salmon harvest time. And if we have to fight for that time. And so, you know, I'm doing my very best through all kinds of obstacles, just like a salmon does, to actually get Butte Creek the care and stewardship it deserves and the tending it deserves from the whole entire community, and wake up the agencies that have let it go to let it go this year. We really had a bad spawning year on the Butte Creek, which is the very last wild salmon run that hasn't been touched in the state of California. So it's the very last one, and now we have to work together.
So before we heard this quick action, that this beautiful audio that was put together, I did some editing, kind of weaved it together. Maybe just a tad, maybe a minute background of who Allie Matters Knight is and how you can talk so eloquently about this topic.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm the Master TEK practitioner of the Machupta Indian Tribe here, and I've been working on restoration. Restoration would be restoration of verbena fields, restoration, working with the federal forest agencies, which is under the USDA, and kind of putting that traditional ecological knowledge is the very first and original agriculture of this land. And so we're trying to add ourselves as a component and an agency under USDA, under preserves, as an actual agricultural practice. It's just a little older than the one that's been here only 150 years. So what we're also trying to do is do workforce development and create workforce development to give people skills and certifications to do land management in a way that's indigenous, and it's not capitalizing on the resource, and it's not extractive. It's not an extractive workforce. It's an actual restorative workforce. And so that changes the game when it comes to contracts under the federal forest for timber agencies and all that. And that, you know, there's a long history about how Chico and this land, Chico's Machupta's territory has been altered by agriculture and development. But there's a story of survival and fight within our traditional practices that live today, and it lives through TEK.
That's beautiful. That's a wonderful lead into this audio that was put together. And once again, Judy Silber was the main lead reporter. And a huge shout out to Lindsay Ray Myers, who had sent this audio along to Ron, who put it in my care to kind of put this show together today. And once again, get out there. Google right now the Spiritual Edge podcast. And that trailer you heard is out there. And, you know, follow them, because they're going to be launching this, I believe, in August. But with no further ado, this is a beautiful little segment here about with Colleen Sisk, will be the first person you hear from the Winamum Wintu. And anyway, it's all here. You'll know what it's all about as soon as I stop talking and hit play here on People Power Radio.
I got the letter in the car.
The Shasta Dam Visitor Center in Redding, California, is about as busy as one might imagine in the lazy afternoon hours of a hot Wednesday in late summer. That is, not very. A parking lot with lots of empty spaces, the occasional random tourist who wanders in. The year is 2019.
We're going to gather up right around here. The tribe has a letter to deliver to the Bureau of Reclamation about how absent we are in the information in there. Yeah. So anybody who don't want to do that, time to duck out.
The group before Chief Sisk includes a mixture of Winamum Wintu and supporters. Shasta Dam is one of the group's last stops on a two-week prayer journey called the Run for Salmon that began in the Bay Area. The plan now is to go into the visitor center. Chief Sisk has a letter that she wants to read out loud to a BOR official. The letter expresses discontent about the visitor center's lack of information about the Winamum Wintu. And it outlines a plan to bring salmon back to the McLeod.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
The group lines up, forming a line around the side of the building.
We're all walking for salmon.
Okay.
They start to make their way inside with signs and guitars as props, practicing as they go. The group enters the visitor center, filling the small space. People will tell me later they saw several BOR employees exit through a heavy door leading to the back. The atmosphere quickly turns from festive to tense. Michael, the son of Chief Sisk, approaches a woman seated behind a large desk near the door where visitors would usually be welcomed. He speaks in a soft and polite voice.
Yes, if there's anybody back there, they would be willing to come out to speak with us on behalf of the Winamum Wintu tribe.
Can you ask if there's anyone back there who would be willing to come out and speak with us? He asks. He says the Winamum Wintu have a letter they'd like to read. Michael waits quietly. She stares ahead with a blank look on her face. She says neither yes or no, just flat out ignores him, as if he is not there. The non-response agitates the group. A few people in the group begin filming the interaction at the front desk. Meanwhile, the gift shop salesperson, who is the visitor center's only other remaining employee, takes out his phone to record and points it at the group. A security guard enters through the side door. He says he wants to make sure everyone is calm.
Here, just relax. Are we relaxed?
Yeah,
I can't tell.
Yeah. All right, I just want to make sure.
Redding, the city where Shasta Dam is located, is not a big town. The Winamum know him through personal connections.
You can sing a song to get more relaxed.
What do you want to sing? Want to sing a happy song?
Yeah.
Chief Sisk suggests the group can sing, which was part of their plan all along. Like a flash mob, but without the moves, they break into song.
Story of the Winamum Wintu. Let the people tell the truth. Tell the story of the Winamum Wintu.
The song in encapsulates the group's main complaints: the visitor center's omission of the Wintu story, and an investment they'd like to see in a swimway to help salmon return to habitat above the dam. After a few minutes of singing, Chief Sisk tries one more time to make her case to the silent front desk woman. She references a BOR project pushed by the Trump administration to raise Shasta Dam even higher so its reservoir can hold more water. The bigger reservoir threatens to flood Winnemem-Wintu sacred sites, some of the only ones that remain.
We're just asking for the Bureau of Reclamation staff because, you know, we're the tribe from this river, and building it higher is going to impact us. And so we have a letter.
Then the phone rings.
Bureau of Reclamation, I mean, we help you.
The front desk woman, who has ignored them until now, picks up. The crowd is incredulous. The security guard who left briefly returns. He tells the group the visitor center employees are a little freaked out. Chief Sisk says she just wants to read a letter. She asks if there are any Bureau of Reclamation staff around.
Well, what about the Bureau of Reclamation staff?
Would you like me to accept a letter on their behalf today?
No, we would want to see an official.
There's nobody here to do that.
Isn't there anyone who could be called, Chief Sisk asks? Shasta Dam is a major infrastructure project. Its operations impact farmers and municipalities across the state. The BOR's website shows that the agency's Northern California Area office and the Shasta Dam Visitor Center share an address. But the security guard repeats, there are no administrators around.
There's no administrators here
to recognize that the Winnemem-Wintu have been flooded, that this facility right here, there's no wonder they don't know who we are, because there's nothing here that even says anything about Winnemem-Wintu being flooded by this dam. Maybe those administrators.
I have my own ideas on that too. We can discuss this. But I've got to go. We have some people. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
The security guard leaves. Gary Thomas is a ceremonial singer from Lake County who is here to support the Winnemem. He whispers to Chief Sisk.
Well, maybe they think you're all under the lake.
Maybe they think you're all under the lake still, he says. That you don't exist anymore. The lake he refers to is Shasta Lake, California's largest reservoir. Its creation flooded a huge area, 30,000 acres, including ancient Wintu villages, sacred sites, and burial grounds. It permanently expelled a culture that had survived genocide and settler occupation of their land. Chief Sisk turns to the group.
And all we're asking for is the justice to be recognized and to be dealt with in a humanistic manner. Like we're real people. Like we really have something that belongs to this river and the river belongs to us. And the Bureau of Reclamation is totally ignoring. It's like that right there. Filming behind the door is the treatment that we get. We're asking for some justice and to sit down with somebody.
It's now 1 minute before closing. With no Bureau of Reclamation staff around, Chief Sisk decides they will read the letter to the group's cameras. Her son, Michael, faces the cameras and the front desk woman. He begins to read the letter out loud.
To whom it may concern, we want the history and present realities of the Winnemem-Wintu tribe, from our point of view, to be included in a permanent exhibit in the visitor center on Shasta Dam to accurately represent the suffering we have endured for the state of California's water supply. It is only right that our sacrifice and contribution to California be acknowledged.
The letter also speaks about the Chinook salmon.
The installation of Shasta Dam and its operation since 1945 has had devastating effects on the Chinook and other fish, as well as all the wildlife, beavers, bears, mountain lions, etc. There needs to be made public a list of all the species that have been negatively affected by the dam. Such a list should include the reduction of the number of Winnemem Wintu population. Oh. Thank you.
Done reading, Michael lowers the letter. The front desk employee says nothing.
Respect the people. Tell the truth.
Tell the story of the Winnemem Wintu.
And on a grassy area outside, a crowd of about 40 people gathers around Kalene Sisk, chief of the Winnemem Wintu people.
This dam destroyed my people's land, the burial grounds, the hunting grounds, the fishing grounds.
Behind Chief Sisk, we see Shasta Dam's immense concrete spillway. Shasta Dam stands 602 feet high and is the country's eighth tallest dam. It helped make possible California's reputation as the breadbasket of the world. Chief Sisk tells the group its construction also left behind a legacy of harm by flooding the Winnemem and other Wintu bands off of their land.
None of the people on the river wanted to give up their homes. They didn't want to leave the river.
The river Chief Sisk mentions is the McLeod. The McLeod River is one of Shasta Dam's main tributaries and the place the Winnemem claim as their homeland. The dam forced them off the river, forever changing where and how they live.
We didn't get any land on the McLeod River. We didn't get anything for everything that was taken. We were displaced and homeless, and our people was in the boarding schools and in the service. And when they came home, they had to have a different kind of life.
A life away from the river, wherever they could find jobs and a place to live. In addition, Shasta Dam changed the McLeod River itself, once known for a salmon population so abundant you could walk across their backs to reach the other side. For the area's indigenous people, salmon was a food source and a sacred relation. Once the dam went up, the salmon could no longer get to the McLeod. They couldn't swim past it.
The salmon didn't run up the river anymore, and we didn't have any rights to fish on that river anymore. And so everybody dispersed and tried to, you know, just make it.
Chief Sisk wears a skirt, long strands of beads, and a traditional woven basket hat atop her long braided black hair. She's fairly small in stature, but with the solid build of a former softball player, which she is. Her appearance indicates a person who will stand up for herself and her people, which she does a lot. The Winnemem Wintu are like refugees in their own land.
But at this time, we're trying to pull people back together. And it's been a difficult fight for us with no land, without our fish, without our ownership of our own sacred places, fighting with the Forest Service all the time to even do our ceremonies. And now it's like the Bureau of Indian Affairs has forgotten all about the land that they signed off on this river.
All right, Guillermo Mash here, substitute host for Ron Topi here on the North State Water Report. And I just want to once again do a huge shout out and blessings for the Spiritual Edge podcast for entrusting KZFR for to be the first people that broadcast some of the stuff that they've put together. So go on out to the Spiritual Edge podcast and follow them, because they're going to be doing a months-long series all about Run for Salmon. And that's a project of KALW Public Radio in San Francisco, and it's part of a series called A Prayer for Salmon. The full podcast will debut in August, and for more info, go to thespiritualedge.org. Before we put Ron on, Ron Topi's up at the site where they're getting ready to start Run for Salmon. They're going downstream this year. Maybe a little bit of comments about what we just heard, Allie, the direct action at the Shasta Dam.
Yeah, Shasta Board of Supervisors, the Shasta County, leadership that's there through the municipals. I haven't heard a lot of intelligence coming out of their leadership. They seem to be still really emboldened by the California water industry, or water brokers, And they also are not, you know, how would you say that? They're not politically correct and understanding how to deal with voices in the community that need to be talked to. So I feel like it was really unfortunate to see or hear how they were treated at the visiting center. And I think it reflects a lot of the leadership in Shasta County and in the state of California when it comes to recognizing the endeavors that tribes have to save the salmon and reclaim our lifestyle that was taken away us and actually was made illegal. Like, people don't realize, understand, although, you know, Civil War, everyone understands the Civil War was in the 1860s. They don't realize that it's the same time as they were slaughtering and killing natives here in California and establishing themselves as a state. It wasn't that long ago. We're talking two grandmothers ago. So to still see the, and you know, the descendants of the pioneers and settlers still holding and clasping on to the colonial mindset that natives are doing something invasive when they come and stand up for themselves, I just hope that anyone listening, I don't think that anyone listening is anything but an ally, but at some point, if someone's accidentally listening to this and they haven't recognized that in themselves, that they potentially see or listen to the voices of Native and Indigenous people standing up for their ecosystem. Because I think that it is a moral issue when you can't listen.
Yeah, it sure is. And when you can't actually just, you know, have some respect for the tradition of the land and the people that were there first. And no better person to kind of segue. We're going to give Ron a call right now while we air at least one of these beautiful interviews. So a spiritual prayer, the Spiritual Edge podcast is part of their A Prayer for Salmon. They sent us some interviews they did with some of the natives around what Run for Salmon's all about. And this next one's really a beautiful one in that it's from Desiree Harp, who has been involved with this from day one. She's a beautiful artist. She was part of the one, the trio of people, Nicole Oak, Jesse Naomi, and herself that put together Water So Deep, which started our show. So listen up to this. And once again, just a huge shout out to you know, the podcast, The Spiritual Edge, and for giving us these you know, exclusive interviews here on Peepa Radio.
Mishwal onatati sinsle Irish Bashishina Kaidina Edashiche and Sljina Dashinele. I come from the Diné people, as well as I come from the Mishwal Onatatis people, and I'm introducing myself in my language, but my name is Desiree Harp in English. We call ourselves Mishwal Onatatis, which means the outspoken people, but the government calls us Mishwal Wapo. Mm-hmm. Our sacred mountain is Mount St. Helena. We also call that Kanemota, and we also have our river as well, which is the Napa Valley River. I am doing the Run for Salmon because I was called through ceremony. I'm doing everything in my power to help to protect the water and to help to bring back the salmon. What's interesting is that the more that I partake on this journey, the deeper my commitment gets. I have been learning so much about how to really stay in prayer full time, and this isn't a 9-to-5 job, this is a way of life. Every one of us has gifts that we can bring to the table, and a lot of the times we are taught that there is something wrong with us if we don't fit into some specific category, but I know that I do have gifts to share, song being one of them. So one of the songs that I'm singing is the Woman Warrior song, and it comes from Canada, and that's the song that I'm singing that goes, hey, 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 yahio, yahio, hey, hey, yahio. I was on a 1,000-mile prayer walk, and we were helping to raise awareness around resource extraction. I was at that point understanding that I wanted to dedicate the rest of my life to helping protect sacred sites
And I understood that as much as I want to be in ceremony all the time and I don't always want to get involved in politics, you know, really the two oftentimes come hand in hand because sometimes we don't have the right to have our ceremony in the places that we want to have them if we don't take a political stance. And so a lot of people are calling us activists and all of these things and protesters, but really we're just trying to protect our way of life.
I'll not explain it. We just wrote this song right now.
Wait, do we repeat the last song?
What is the last line?
I think we should do it four times.
And then the last
one. And then the last one, we should repeat it four times.
From the ocean to the mountain till the salmon arrive.
Let me hear you.
I'll be here till the very end, and I will be here past this prayer run. I will be helping to protect the water and helping to bring back our ancestors, the salmon. That's what I'm going to commit to for life.
Desiree Harrop, she's just so beautiful. One quick memory before we hit the play and get Ron on, but I was so blessed. I was at the Grub CSA Farm run for salmon last year. They came through and stayed there, and they said, who's going to do the prayer before dinner? And Desiree Harrop was standing just right next to me, and I was sitting in the chair, and she did the whole prayer, and it was just amazing. So huge shout out to Desiree Harrop, and a huge shout out to my good friend Ron Topi. How's it going up there, Ron Topi on the McLeod?
It's going well so far. A few of us have rolled in, and Aki's over there preparing a meal, so when everyone comes in tonight, there'll be food to nourish them. And a couple of our medics are here right now that travel with us on the whole journey to keep everyone healthy and you know, free of injury.
I love that. I'm going to turn it over to Allie Mender's Knight and have you guys have a conversation about what's going on, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for covering for me tonight, Guillermo, and we've been listening, and so far it's been an amazing show.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, blessings.
Hey Tunani. So we were talking yesterday about collaborating with tribes and putting together some efforts to really bring the salmon game, you know, to a different level in the next, you know, 10 years. Talking about collaborating with not only the salmon run, but actually focusing here in Butte County and working with the local Maidu Machupta or Maidu tribes here on Butte Creek restoration of salmon.
Yeah, I know. One of the bigger visions of Chief Colleen Sisk for Run for Salmon is to not just call the salmon back up to the McLeod River, which is really the main thing. You know, the Winnemem discovered like 13 years ago that the fish, the descendants of the fish that used to come up into their river, actually live in New Zealand now. There's a river over in New Zealand called the Rakaia River, and McLeod River salmon were introduced into that river about 100 years ago from a fish hatchery that was actually established where the dam is now. It was called the Baird Fish Hatchery. It was the first national fishery established, and a man named Livingston Stone was the he wasn't really a biologist, but you know, he was the one that convinced the United States government to put funding toward a national fish hatchery there, and they took salmon from that hatchery and introduced them into rivers all around the world, and the only river they really thrived in was in New Zealand. And the Winnemem Wintu had no idea. The dam was built, they lost their land, they lost their fish, they lost their way of life, about 13 or 14 years ago, they discovered that those salmon were actually over in New Zealand and that they could be brought back here. And that was the real impetus for Run for Salmon, for this prayer, was to call those salmon home. But it was also to call all the salmon from the ocean back up into these rivers and into the smaller creeks and to travel up and down the watershed, you know, the main watershed, the Sacramento River, and connect with all the other salmon tribes along the way and start lighting those fires along the river and the creeks again, like they used to in the old days. in prayer and preparation for the salmon returning and the harvest and everything, like Allie described earlier. I know Butte Creek is having a heck of a time, the salmon on Butte Creek. And last year there was a record run. There was some counts were 20,000, 18 to 20,000 fish had returned. And that was the highest amount in many decades. And about 90% of them died pre-spawn because the water got too warm in the creek. And it all had to do with lack of cold water being released from the west branch of the Feather River that feeds the reservoir, the DeSablo Reservoir up by Paradise. And then they release water into Butte Creek from there, and it keeps the water in Butte Creek cool. And it's also irrigation water that gets taken off the creek down below 99. And last year, PG&E did not release the water early enough, and the water temperatures got too high, and about 90% of those fish died pre-spawn. Fast forward to this spring, as the salmon were coming up in the early spring, when they hit they come off the river, and the first thing they hit is an area called the Butte Sink. As soon as they hit the Butte Sink, all the water from the main branch of Butte Creek kind of used to naturally just flow off into a bunch of sloughs and marshes, and all of that water now has been diverted. All of those sloughs are now irrigation canals, and there's all these little sets of little weirs that farmers can open up and let the water release into their irrigation and their rice fields out there, and they don't time their irrigation diversions with when the fish are coming in. So when the fish came in this year, again, it was they were expecting another 12 to 16,000 fish this year. Hundreds of them died just even trying to get up the creek as they hit the sink because there wasn't enough water. Bunches of them swam up into the irrigation sloughs and end up getting stuck in there, and they can't get back into the creek. Yeah, there's a lot that really needs to be done on Butte Creek, and Poudre Creek had the same problem this year. There wasn't enough water in the creek when the spring run came up early spring, and so we're actually this year during Run for Salmon, when we get to Colusa, there'll be a few of us, Desiree Harp and Gary Thomas, who's a Pomo, and Desiree, she introduced herself earlier as a WAPO. We're actually going to do another prayer along Cache Creek to Lake Berryessa over to and follow Poudre Creek, carrying the prayer along those two salmon creeks that are suffering as well. The fires are being lit with other tribes, and Talene's vision is actually becoming more and more of a reality, because this year, in about 3 days, we're actually, this whole Run for Salmon group, this prayer group, is going to be at a place on the McLeod River up here, just below the falls. It's the upper part of the McLeod River, up above the dam, this place called Audina, which is an old Winnemem fishing village. And there will be salmon eyed eggs, put into incubation tanks along the side of the river up here, and as soon as those eyed eggs hatch into fingerlings, they will be released into the river. And this is the first time that salmon, winter run Chinook salmon, will be up in this part of the upper McLeod River above the dam since the dam was built. And this is all part of a co-management project. California Fish and Wildlife and DWR has reached out to the Winnemem Wintu and finally welcomed them at the table after decades and decades of trying to get their foot in the door and protecting their sacred sites and their traditional lifeways along the McLeod River. They've asked them into a co-management project to try to restore winter run Chinook, because they finally understand what the Winnemem have been trying to tell them, and that's that you have to put the fish back up above the dam. And so they're finally listening, and there's a project that's going to happen, and we will actually all be there when those first eggs are introduced in a couple days.
Wow. Listeners, just joining Gamble Mash, hosts, co-hosting with Allie Manners Knight and filling in for Ron, Ron for Salmon, Ron Topi. He's actually up at the McLeod River, and that's who you just heard from. Man, Ron, you guys, the tribe and everyone involved with that, the prayer must be just so blessed or excited. There must be a lot of emotion around what's going to happen with the release of these salmon, huh?
Yeah.
The eggs?
Yeah, it's a powerful year. I don't even really know how I feel about it yet. I think it's really going to
hit you.
A couple days when we're all there and we see those salmon eggs get put in those incubation tanks.
Wow.
And they start experiencing that McLeod River water again for the first time.
Wonderful to hear the young voices.
We've got almost a dozen people that have showed up so far, and like I said, Aki's over there preparing some food for everybody, and everyone's just kind of settling into their camp. When we're ready to close this interview, I can hold my phone up and have everybody here just give a big Run for Salmon call out.
Oh, I love that. I'll turn it over to Allie before we do that. And, you know, any closing questions or comments or both?
Well, you know, I noticed that working with the Butte Creek Salmon, some of the most important moves that we can make is working with trust agencies that have, trust lands and trust lands that do preserves or even agricultural work. I think that they would be really interested in purchasing some of these habitat areas, even, you know, perhaps the Butte Sink itself, to be able to do the restoration work. I think strategically it's not over the top, and I think it's very doable. In fact, it might be happening in certain ways. And so I think my question is, you know, how can we work together? How can we put these agencies together to not only work for, you know, one creek or, you know, one watershed, but, could we put together, you know, some more political action together with other agencies who are also allies of salmon?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of them. I'm not Winnemem, so I can't really speak for the Winnemem as far as any kind of collaborations like that, but I do sit on the board of directors of a nonprofit organization called the Indian Cultural Organization, and it is a nonprofit that the Winnemem had set up for over 30 years now, because they're not a recognized tribe, and one of the reasons they established this nonprofit was so that they could raise funds to help with restoration projects, the preservation of many of their ceremonial and sacred sites along the McLeod River, which they do have a relationship with the U.S. Forest Service, and they still hold ceremony in a lot of these places. And this very little known tribe called the Winnemem Wintu have been for decades preserving cultural sites and doing what they can to try to restore the river up above the dam. And one of the things that they're still in litigation with is the FERC relicensing of the Pitt River energy, the power plant up there where they actually divert water off the McLeod River and put it into the Pitt River so that there's enough force, enough cubic feet of water moving through to generate electricity. And that whole facility is under a FERC relicensing process, and the Indian Cultural Organization is fighting that. that relicensing, trying to get that shut down, which really needs to happen if the salmon are going to come back up here.
Right. So that's Reno Franklin, by the way, that we need to talk to. He is the tribal liaison and representative for PG&E. For folks that don't know, so that's, again, his name is Reno Franklin. Go ahead and look him up.
Reno Franklin. Yeah, I've heard his name, and, you know, the Winnemem also have an Office of Historic Preservation, and Mark Miyoshi and Colleen Sisk, actually, they're pretty much the primary people that work with all these different agencies on historic preservation and trying to preserve cultural resources and their cultural sites, and they do have a whole monitoring program, so they do consults and they go out and have cultural monitors whenever there's any jobs going on within the Forest Service lands in Winnemem territory, and I think, Allie, to answer your question about collaborations, I think as things continue to progress with this whole emergency program. This has been an emergency project to get the winter run Chinook, because they're essentially extinct. All of the winter run Chinook that actually spawned last year in the river, none of the juveniles made it back out to the ocean last year. So they're not expecting any more winter run Chinook to come back up the Sacramento River. It's effectively become extinct. So they initiated this emergency program and called the Winnemem in this was two or three months ago to co-manage a project putting salmon back up here to rescue, to bring back the winter run. So if things move forward with that, I see a lot of chances to collaborate with other tribes through the ICO and all of these agencies to continue to restore native runs rather than these hatchery fish, because the hatchery fish are part of the problem.
All right, running out of time. It's such a beautiful thing to hear from you up there, Ron, and I know you'll get some good footage. I gave Ron some of my gear so he can do some coverage. And stay tuned.
When I get back, there'll be, my next show, first Thursday of August, will be another Run for Salmon show.
Yeah.
And hopefully I have some good audio to play everybody about, the whole journey.
Can't wait to hear it.
Be part of the journey.
And we're going to do a special Studio 416, too, a Run for Salmon on the 30th, 1:30 to 3 o'clock here on KZFR 90.1 FM.
I'll be back for that, GMO, but... Jesse in, and maybe we can do another phone call.
Well, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Phoning in. Yeah. I want to thank everyone that joined us today, particularly Allie Matters Knight and all of the love and care that she shared. And I do want to have enough time to play these beautiful, beautiful continuing stories of Run for Salmon from The Spiritual Edge, A Prayer for Salmon. And before I do that, you said you're going to put the phone up and have everyone yell and stuff, right? Let's do that.
Yeah, let me let everyone know.
I want to hear this.
Hey, everyone in camp right now, I'm actually live on the radio on a community radio station in Pico, California. So if everybody wants to just give a big Run for Salmon shout, that'd be amazing. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Run for Salmon! Woohoo!
And I'm going to give you a bird whistle back.
All right, more to come.
More to come. All right, next up, you're going to hear from Aki, who's doing the food for the Run for Salmon. Here on Peep Powered Radio.
My name is Aki Krillman, and my role here is, I guess, head cook. Save the water, scoop out the, there's a big, what do you, they call it, a spider? Food is my passion, and service gives me joy. And so for me to be able to cook and provide food to nourish people gives me joy.
So what we have are sandwich makings,
this journey is a joyful experience.
And this beautiful organic roast turkey.
I'm Japanese American. I'm a third generation. My grandparents immigrated first to Hawaii and then to California. And during the Second World War, my parents and grandparents were interned in the internment camps. And so I personally didn't feel any discrimination or oppression when I was a child. It was later that I realized how affected my parents were from the internment. Reading stories and sharing stories about the persecution and oppression of the Indians and the prejudice that they experience was the same that my parents felt. Yeah, so the ancestors is like the old ways were definitely good ways. I mean, even my parents who were farmers, they were organic farmers because they couldn't afford the fertile, you know, the commercial artificial fertilizers. They raised chickens and rabbits for the natural manure, and they rotated crops because they knew that's what you needed to do to keep the soil healthy. And, you know, even further back is like the beautiful art that was created from the ancient cultures. Yeah, and the Winnemem are the same. It's like Creator has provided everything that we really need, and to look to nature for the solutions and for being in harmony with the nature in order for it to thrive and grow. I am not Winnemem, and I feel that I can align myself, my whole being, with their beliefs because they're similar, they're the same. I know that there's just a strong ancestral connection, and I do believe I'm not here by accident, that ancestors do their work by connecting people of like minds and spirits, and the Winnemem are doing their best to restore that good.
I'm Alex Howell, or Kayakutia. Michiwa Wapo, or Onatsatis. We are river people from the Alexander Valley, Napa Valley area, headwaters of the San Francisco Bay Area up to Mendocino County. We are up here, I'm helping with the runs for salmon. So my cousin Desiree is actually one of the ones who's one of the main organizers for the event. So she called me needing some help for a few things, and I jumped right on board. So for today, we're just going to be shooting up the river, checking out the spots where like canals and water drainage tunnels and stuff like that are dumping into the river, where it's mixing dirtier water with the fresh water, so we can get an idea of, you know, what exactly these salmon are going to have to go through as they run up the river.
Things good? Cool. We're just trying to dial in who's going to be on the boat, and I think Desi and Gary are coming.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
Should be good. I learned that I had California indigenous roots or indigenous bloodlines in me when I was in fifth grade, so about 10 or 12, but I didn't really get introduced into it until I was about 14, 15, and my dad was actually dating a native girl, and she would always tell me, you got the fire in you, boy, you need to go and figure that out, you need to go figure out why. And I needed to learn what this fire was. First off, my mom's boyfriend got some books that were given to him by a library, or he bought them from a museum, whatever happened. The books were about the Wapo people in the Calistoga area, Yountville area, and those are my family members, my tribe. So he had these books, and as I met Desiree, she was starting a language class for all of us to learn our language, and she had two of the books that were to finish the set that I had. So I was given two books, and Desiree had two books. And we came to a tribal meeting, and I realized that she had those books and was learning our language. And the book that I had was the grammar of this language. And she said, okay, great. Now I need your help. We need to get our language back together. We need to learn all of this together. This is both of our stuff. You were given something. You're obviously part. So I did. I went to the language class. We started, you know, dabbling around in that. So they taught me a few words and how to read the book and how to interpret the pages that I have. So I'm slowly going about that, just trying to, you know, pick up words here and there and learn little bit by little bit. I was just told by one of the elders today, the very first thing that we should be doing is getting our language back, because once the language comes back, the spirits come back through that language. And without the language, the spirits can't come back. So it all works together. I'm usually just kind of whispering words in my ear by myself. Oh, a certain kind of bird flies by, I'll think about what that bird's name is. Or if I...